Not always politically correct, but always correct. Using only primary source stories of those who were actually there, you're listening to Threads of Liberty. A Spaniard, who was captured in the fight at La Cuisina, said of the American volunteers, "They did not fight as other soldiers. When we fired a volley, they advanced instead of going back. The more we fired, the nearer they came to us. We were not used to fighting with men who act so." The men that Spaniard was referring to were the Rough Riders and Teddy Roosevelt.
It's almost impossible to say the Rough Riders without saying Teddy Roosevelt along with them.
It is.
The thing I think most of us remember about Teddy Roosevelt is his quote, "walk softly and carry a big stick."
Yes, and that he was president.
He was president. I guess the question I think most would ask, I would have asked when I was younger, is why do we care? He was president of the United States. He was famous for being part of the Rough Riders. He was a man's man, if you will, of that time. But so what? Why do we care?
Well, I think we care about this particular story because, first of all, it embodies the American can-do spirit at the time. It also was something good that America was trying to do because we were trying to save the Cubans who were being put in concentration camps by the Spaniards, and we were trying to come to their rescue.
I would agree. And so I guess where we need to focus on this is to remember where we are in history at this time. America was basically halfway between the Civil War and World War I. We had barely survived as a nation, but we were definitely not a power at this time. So the question is, why do we care? Well, this is the period of time when America basically set the ideal of who we were going to be. We can do this. There's nothing we can't do. And the man to lead that charge was Teddy Roosevelt, the man that said, "bully for me or bully for you." There was a religious and political leader back in the 1930s that had this to say about Teddy Roosevelt. He said, "The Lord raised up Theodore Roosevelt to stir the hearts of men to civic righteousness." So get them involved in good things. Mm-hmm. Be involved in good things. Mm-hmm. And Teddy Roosevelt was the man to get you involved. So he may not have changed the world in some ways, but he did set the course for America's attitude and who we were going to be.
He was a force to be reckoned with. Now, the man came from money. And yes, he was related to FDR.
He was.
Not like first cousins. They were second or third cousins, I believe.
He did come from money. And because of that, in the conversations that you and I have had, or the arguments, if you will, you've mentioned that he came from money. And so because of that, the trials that he went through may not have been as significant.
No, I think the trials still were. It's just having money can make some things a little easier.
They could. But let's take a look at what he went through. We all go through trials. But the reason we're mentioning the trials of Teddy Roosevelt right now, and where we're leading to this eventually, is the charge up San Juan Hill that I think a lot of people have heard about. But everything that we're going to talk about in this foundational part leads up to the making of the man. And he did go through trials that I think, whether you're rich or poor, would be difficult for anybody.
Oh, there's no denying they were difficult.
He was born as a weakly sick child. He had asthma from the time he was just a small child. His father died while he was in college.
And his father was kind of a bully.
He was overbearing. He was. I don't think he did it to be overbearing. He wanted the best for his son. And at times, parents can push maybe too hard.
He thought maybe being tough on him would strengthen him.
It's kind of hard to say, though, that he pushed too hard, considering the way Teddy Roosevelt turned out, though. But his father died while he was in college. He then flunked out of college, which is understandable. His mother and his wife died on the same day. These are things that round the edges off of a stone, you might say. His son suffered a nervous breakdown because of this. Teddy Roosevelt contracted malaria while he was in the military. He became president, but only because the president of the United States, McKinley, had been assassinated. It wasn't by the vote of the people the first time. He had a ranch in North Dakota, went bankrupt. He survived an assassination attempt, which is a fascinating story. He lost the presidential bid as the Bull Moose Party candidate. They didn't want him as a Republican. They didn't want him as a Democrat. So Teddy Roosevelt, being who he was, said, "All right, I'll start my own Bull Moose
Party. I'll be independent."
Yep. And then his son was killed in World War I. Mm. So this was a man that knew trials.
And defeat.
And defeat. And I think those trials and those defeats made him stronger. And they made him recognize and appreciate his successes. And he had successes. He had a lot of them. But Teddy Roosevelt is one of those guys that you and I have watched before, and I'm sure everybody listening at home has watched Braveheart at times. Mm-hmm. And Mel Gibson, who is playing Braveheart, says he's going to go peck a fight. Teddy Roosevelt pecked a lot of fights. He didn't want to coast through life and just enjoy it. He wanted to be a part of life.
Well, in fact, he has that great quote about being in the arena. It is not the critic who counts and not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, because there is not effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumphs of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat.
You couldn't call Teddy Roosevelt a timid soul.
No.
Matter of fact, he was prophetic in many ways. He set the attitude, the spirit of America that carried through World One, carried through World War II, and a ways further. I'm not going to say, in all honesty, I'm not going to say we have that spirit now. But he did talk about what was going to happen to our nation if we went a certain course.
What did he say?
He said this: great nations are never conquered from outside unless they are rotten inside. Our greatest national problem today is erosion, not erosion of the soil, but the erosion of national morality, erosion of law and order. He went on to say, the things that will destroy America are prosperity at any price, peace at any price, safety first instead of duty first, the love of soft living, and the get-rich-quick theory of life. And I think we're seeing the results of some of the things that he talked about here. But this period of time was not that.
Well, and we could talk about Teddy Roosevelt as president and some of his controversial policies, one of them being national parks. But this story is just about San Juan Hill and Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders. And I just wanted to read the citation that was given to him because he wasn't president yet. He had been in government, but resigned, right, in order to lead the Rough Riders.
Let's clarify to what extent this man went to in order to get involved in the Spanish-American War of 1898. He was Secretary of the Navy when this war started. He resigned and became second in command of his unit. He eventually became first, but he wanted to be involved so badly. He said, nope, don't want that government-appointed position. I want to be there. I want to be on that hill. I want to charge up that hill towards the Spaniards.
And he did. He did. So here's what part of the citation said. Facing the enemy's heavy fire, he displayed extraordinary bravery throughout the charge and was the first to reach enemy trenches, where he quickly killed one of the enemy with his pistol, allowing his men to continue the assault. His leadership and valor turned the tide in the battle for San Juan Hill.
So I think we've laid a little bit of the foundation. Let's go into the actual war itself. And we've spent a little more time on foundational things of who Teddy Roosevelt was, because I don't think a lot of us really understand the man, except for the walk softly and carry a big stick. But the year was 1898, and this was in Cuba. And in the classes that I used to teach, I would ask students who fought in the Spanish-American War and where it was fought. Well, they figured out somehow that it was the Spanish, not the Mexicans, mm-hmm. the Spanish and the Americans. Most of them guessed that this war was fought in Texas or Mexico. It was not. This little four-month war was fought in Cuba. Now, the Spaniards had owned Cuba for a good while, but in the 1800s, they became increasingly oppressive. In the late 1800s, 1895 or so, they set up literally concentration camps.
Goodness.
Where over 100,000 Cubans died. So at this time, America was not the country that it is now. We did not rush to the defense of everybody. Remember, we hadn't even entered World War I now. But this was only 90 miles off of our shore. We saw what was going on there. We insisted they stop. Our newspapers wrote articles about it. Finally, though, we sent a ship, the USS Maine, down to the port in Havana. And the idea was to protect U.S. interests and also any Americans that happened to be down there because they were doing business down there. While the USS Maine was in port, it blew up. Now, the Spaniards said that we hit a mine. It's kind of hard to hit a mine when you're docked, but we did. Somehow. It was later discovered that it was sabotage that had blown that up. We still didn't declare war on them, though. We were not a warlike country at the time. You have to remember that some of the people of this time were the sons and daughters, or even some of the people that were alive during the Civil War. We did not want another war. So we didn't declare war on Spain at this point. We didn't want to fight. But we did insist that they give up Cuba, Guam, and the Philippines, which were Spanish possessions. We said, enough of this, give it to the Cubans, and get out of here. Well, the Spaniards were a prideful people. They were from Europe, and they were a powerful country at the time. They got offended by this, so they declared war on us.
Oops.
Yeah, bad decision. We may not have been the great power we are now, and we weren't the power that we were to become in World War I and most certainly World War II, but we were on the edge. It was the dawn of American power. And it was the wrong thing for them to do, because you had men like Teddy Roosevelt. Roosevelt then, as we mentioned, decided to resign his commission as Secretary of the Navy, and he went down, put together a group that everybody knows about, but nobody really knows about.
Well, how did they get their name?
Well, they got their name from Buffalo Bill Cody. And I'm going to read this to you. Do not ask me to explain what this means, because I have no idea. But he took it from Buffalo Bill's group that they toured around. And the name of the group was Buffalo Bill's Wild West and Congress of Rough Riders of the World.
Mm-hmm.
Not a clue.
That's a mouthful.
But that's what he named it after. And Teddy Roosevelt put together a group of men that were just like him. And these were men that could fight, that could endure. I think at one time you even mentioned, and rightfully so, that these were like the precursors to the Navy SEALs and the Army Rangers of today. These guys were the toughest of the tough. Some of them were Texas Rangers. They were cowboys. I mean, real cowboys, not pickup cowboys. Football players from East Yale and Harvard. They had two Native Americans. One was a tracker that could track anything anywhere, solid rock. They had miners from West Virginia. Law enforcement, which makes sense. They had two members of the clergy, fighting clergymen that went with them. They had Catholics. They had Protestants. There were Americans. 90% of them were American-born. Germans, English, and Norwegian. And they had one young man that probably stood out. He was a glee club singer. And if he was as tough as everybody else, I'm sure nobody gave him a hard time for being a glee club singer. There were about 1,000 of these boys, though, that they put together. And they trained, and they trained hard.
Well, and haven't they said that that group was one of the most diverse up to that point of time?
Extremely diverse. As a matter of fact, there was a man that was a lieutenant at the time. His name was Jack Pershing.
Mm-hmm.
If you know anything about World War I, you'll recognize part of his name. He got a nickname in the Spanish-American War. He was called there Black Jack Pershing. Black Jack Pershing was not black. But at the time, there were a good number of African-American troops that were fighting, American troops that were fighting alongside the rest of the troops, among others, the Rough Riders. Most of the officers did not want to lead a troop of black soldiers.
Prejudice was alive and well.
It was. Even though this was the most diverse time up until this point in American history. But because Jack Pershing said, I'll lead these young men, he took the nickname on of Black Jack Pershing. He went on to become General Pershing of World War I that led us to victory there.
And quite famous.
He was.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some fascinating stories about the Rough Riders as they intermingled and fought alongside the black troops. Set the scene just a little bit. The troops had to go up a hill that was known as San Juan Hill.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Spaniards were. It was not San Juan Hill. It was Kettle Hill. I don't know why. For the same reason, I don't know why Bunker Hill is called Bunker Hill when it was really Breed's Hill. That's another story. But they had to take that hill because that hill overlooked a city that was a port city and it was important.
Well, and the Spaniards were entrenched on that hill, right?
They had blockhouses.
They had all of their cannon and stuff up on the top.
Everything on the top of this hill. This hill was probably pretty close to between a quarter and half a mile long. Nothing to hide behind. As you said, the Spaniards had their blockhouses up on top. They had German Mausers that were the best rifles of the time. And there's a story of Teddy Roosevelt as he led the Rough Riders, these young men that were just tough as nails. They were to charge up that hill, but there was a unit ahead of them at the bottom of the hill, and they got pinned down by the Spaniards. Teddy Roosevelt's unit came next, and they couldn't move forward, so he tried to move backwards, but there was a unit behind him also.
So they were pinned in the middle.
They were pinned. Teddy Roosevelt went charging through, told the unit ahead of him to get the heck out of the way. Mama told me not to say those words, but to get out of his way. So Teddy and his men charged up that hill, nothing to hide behind, barely even any shrubs.
Well, and didn't Teddy lead the way?
Teddy did lead the way, as was Teddy's normal self. They went up the first part of the hill, and they were getting picked apart pretty badly. The Spaniards were good shots. They had these German Mausers and rockets that they were firing down. They hit a little knob on the hill before they had to go the rest of the way up to the hill. And on this knob, the Spaniards had put a barbed wire fence. Teddy did what Teddy would be expected to do, and he charged up to that barbed wire fence, got himself some wire cutters, clipped that barbed wire fence, and with the yell of "charge," up the hill he went. He was about 50 yards up the hill before he realized there was a problem, and it was a pretty big problem. His men had not seen him charge up the hill. He was all alone charging up the hill. So he turned around, went back, and his men at that point realized what had happened, and they charged up the hill with him. Now, along the way, there were some absolutely incredible stories of bravery. And maybe this is one of the reasons that we study Teddy Roosevelt. It's kind of hard, in a way, to look at the Civil War, because you had Americans fighting Americans, and it's hard to watch Americans of either side get killed. Mm-hmm. But this was a time when Americans were actually fighting a foreign power, and they set the standard that America came to be known by in World War I under Black Jack Pershing, and in World War II, and I think on in our military to this day. As they charged up, they took this hill from the Spaniards and ended up winning the Spanish-American War, a war that Teddy Roosevelt called a splendid little war. Not sure why, but he enjoyed the excitement of it. Along the way, however, there were some sacrifices made that set the groundwork for who America was to be.
Cowboy Roland from Deming, New Mexico, who was shot through the thigh, the bullet coming through the side, going out at the back, limped to the temporary hospital where he was told nothing could be done for him at that moment. He accordingly walked back to the front and crawled along on his belly, firing volleys with the rest. Colonel Wood, who was at the front throughout the entire action, saw a trooper apparently skulking 50 feet in the rear of the firing line, ordered him sharply to advance. The boy rose and hurried forward limping. As he took his place and raised his carbine, he said, "My leg was a little stiff, sir." Colonel Wood looked and saw that a bullet had plowed 12 inches along the side of the trooper's leg. One had three bullets pass so close that he had marks in three distinct places, as though a hot poker had been drawn across the flesh and blistered it.
We're going through a time in our country today where there's a lot of division, a lot of separation.
Right.
And this is not to diminish the fact that we have had racial issues throughout our country's history. We know that. They've kind of come to a peak now. But at this particular time, remember Black Jack Pershing? He had this to say about how Americans fought in the Spanish-American War. He said this: "White regiments, black regiments, regulars and rough riders, representing the young manhood of the North and the South." He's talking about the Civil War. Now they were fighting together. "Fought shoulder to shoulder, unmindful of race or color, unmindful of whether commanded by ex-Confederate or ex-Yankee, and mindful only of their common duty as Americans." So sure, there were divisions there. But at this particular point in our history, they overcame and put those divisions aside, and they fought together as Americans. Their duty was to their country.
"It was a matter of considerable doubt," an officer of the regular infantry said, "whether the colored troops would acquit themselves well. We of the Army knew them to be good Indian fighters, but this Cuban business was no more like Indian fighting than a game of marbles is like billiards. Probably it was because I am from the South that I didn't think much of the colored regiments. But having seen those fellows in action, I've changed my mind completely. They were the best, the readiest, the most cheerful, and I believe the deadliest fighters in the war."
And there's a story that particularly, it's one of my favorites. It's a harsh story to listen to in a way, but it's also a story of cooperation and a story of Americans, whether you be black or white, or in this case, one black and white. As they charged up the hill, one of the troops from the Buffalo Soldiers, which were the black troops, was wounded.
A young Negro trooper, who struck by a bullet that had cut an artery in his neck, was lying helpless in danger of bleeding to death when a Rough Rider came to his assistance. There was only one thing to be done: to stop the bleeding till a surgeon came. A tourniquet could not be applied where the wound was. The Rough Rider put his finger on the artery and held it there while he waited. The fighting drifted over the hill. He followed his comrades with longing eyes till the last was lost to sight. His place was there, but if he abandoned the wounded cavalryman, it was to let him die. He dropped his gun and stayed. Not until the battle was won did the surgeon come that way, but the trooper's life was saved. He told of it in the hospital with tears in his voice. He done that for me, he did. Stayed by me an hour and a half, and me only a black man.
So they're charging up San Juan Hill, and this Rough Rider desperately wanted to go with the rest of his unit as they charged up. That's the kind of men they were. But he valued one thing more than that, and that was the life of another man. And he stayed for, what was it, an hour and a half, they said? Mm-hmm. With his finger on the artery, this young black soldier did not die. It was a different time, and as we asked the question at the beginning of this podcast, why do we study and why do we do a podcast about Teddy Roosevelt? Maybe it's because, in part, we need to look back a little bit at certain points in our history and see the good that was there. I know that there has been negative, but I think today the negative is emphasized too much at times. And we can learn from negative, but we can also learn from positive. And this was a time of can do. This was a time when America was setting her course for the future that would change the course of the world. This was a time when young black men and young white men put aside their differences and their color and fought together. Did it change the course of history? Most people would say no, that it was, as Teddy called it, a splendid little war. But if you look a little deeper, you'll see the results of the Spanish-American War all 4 months. When we defeated the Spaniards, they were forced to give up Cuba. They were also, however, forced to give up Guam and the Philippines. And within 43 years, Guam and the Philippines would play a major role in establishing freedom in World War II. If it had not been for Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders and those that fought along with them, we would not have had those islands that were so crucial in World War II and that set America and the world on a course that is changing a little bit now, but if it had not been for those places, the course of the world would have been changed for the negative.
Well, and I think it's important to remember that when we look at history, we're only visitors to that period of time. We cannot see or understand the full context. We often don't know everything that surrounded certain events, and history is obviously written by the victors. But if you look at as much as we can glean in regards to this particular story, you can certainly see the bravery of those who fought that war and that there was good that came out of it as we rescued the Cubans and as we ended up gaining lands that changed World War II.
And I think maybe at times as we look around the world, we wonder if we can really make a difference. Teddy Roosevelt made a difference in the world. He was the can-do spirit. He did overcome odds that most people don't have to overcome. He purposely involved himself in a war that he didn't need to be involved in, and he changed the course of the war. And maybe as Americans, we need to look at that a little bit more and understand that we can change the course of our country. And it is our responsibility to assume the duties of a free people and maybe look a little bit more at what Americans can do instead of what we're being told we can't do.
I think we could accept the same challenge that his men did as they were parting ways at the end of that war. He told them, "I know what you were in the field. You were brave and strong. I ask now of you that every man shall go back and serve his country as well in peace as he did in war. I can trust you to do it." Thanks for listening to our story about Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders today. And we want to thank the thousands of you who have tuned in to these moments in history as we've told them. We appreciate your support and we're excited to continue these as we do them weekly. Thank you for joining us. We hope you'll join us again for our next story of Threads of Liberty.